Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible.
What better subject is there than love? Come on, love. It makes the world go round, doesn't it? Well, what we're studying right now is the logic of love. Some people think that love is blind, but actually I think love can see deeper and better than non-love. So this is actually part two of the subject of the logic of love. So we started off, and I think in the interest of continuity, we probably should spend a few minutes in review. So let's make sure that we understand that we're comparing the logic of people, of mankind, with the logic of God, which is really kind of a dumb idea, don't you think? Like, do we really think that we are as smart as he is? Well, let's look at the scripture. Here's the question. To whom, then, will you liken God? Like, what is he like? Who's he like? Is there somebody on this planet that you think is like God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? So then the next question comes, to whom will you liken me? God's personalizing it now. And to whom will you make me equal? Who is my peer? And with whom will you compare me that we may be like? Who is like me? That's the question. The truth of the matter is, there is no comparison. And so, let's look at another scripture here. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And look at where this scripture goes now. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Yo, is there any rationality that would possibly come up with some sensible statement that mankind is in the same category as God? Like the created is like equal to the creator? Well, of course, the idea is unthinkable. And that's why we're studying the logic of God. Whoa. Because if you can learn his thoughts, which are way above ours, oh my goodness. If we can catch his logic, if we can understand his contemplation of things, well, we'd be greatly improved, don't you think, for starters? So here we go. And we started this the last time we were together, and I just want to do a brief review. So we understood that the logic of God is really the logic of love because God is love. And so we learned that that is his logic, since he is love intrinsically. Everything that comes out of him is, in fact, a manifestation of that love. In fact, he says, the Lord, this is Jeremiah, appeared unto me of old, a long time ago, and this is what he said. I love thee. I love thee with a everlasting love. Now, that's an amazing and wonderful, just the way it is, for sure. But watch this now, because somebody said, wherever you see a therefore, you need to look and see why it's there, why it's there. Therefore, because of this love, it says, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So if that's what God is like, he operates by this logic of love. So then the next thing we learn the last time we were together is that what we need to do is switch to the logic of God. I mean, can you imagine how wise you would be, how smart you would be, how knowledgeable? Do you know how you'd be prudent and how you would understand what's going on in the world? If we switch to the logic of God, what a smart thing to do. Then we learn that to switch to the logic of God is equal to or the same as switching to the logic of love. Because it's an old axiom. You remember when you got it in grade 9, the axiom of equality, two things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. Do you remember that? The corollary? So to switch to the logic of God is a really smart thing to do, but it means, in essence, that we switch to the logic of love. And then we already learned that it is when we love that that is the evidence that we've really switched. If we still don't love, then we haven't really switched yet, right? And then, we learned, if we're going to switch, that the logic of love comes from the very philosophy of God. It's just, and watch this now, because philosophy for each of us is a person's ruling motive, which determines everything in terms of their values, their thoughts, their feelings, their words, all behaviors, all the responses to what's going on is based on somebody's fundamental philosophy. And so the logic of love comes from God's philosophy, because God is, in fact, love. And then we learned that love is an intention, an ultimate intention. And we gave some beginning definition of love. The intention of love is to relentlessly, that means it never stops, to relentlessly and caringly pursue the highest good possible for every person in every situation. Love is intent. And when we were at this, we learned this. We learned that intent always precedes content. If we have a motive to love, then the action will be loving. It affects our words. Motive always determines conduct. Always, always, always. And this is what we have been learning lately. And then we concluded the last time we were together with the fact that love has to be authentic. The logic of love is not fake. We went through a whole bunch of scriptures about this. That love demands authenticity. So what we did then is we spent a few moments last time we were together on how the logic of love affects how we speak. And so I'm going to show you, before we start our really new subject, a finality from the last time we were together. So watch this now, because when non-love logic speaks, it sounds different, it is different, it's different in substance and in style to when love logic speaks. So watch here now, because this is what happens if someone speaks and there's no love. Because remember this, if we start a conversation with anybody without love, that conversation is already off track. It's already going south. So let's take a look at this. A fool's lips. No logic, no love in this one. A fool's lips enter into contention. Ooh. And his mouth calls for strokes. In other words, it creates such a reaction. A fool's mouth is his destruction. His lips are the snare of the soul. This is what happens when we speak without the logic of love. Now, in contrast to this, I want to show you just a couple of verses here about what happens when we speak logically, which is lovingly, right? So just a couple of verses, and I think we mentioned this one before. It's about the virtuous woman, Proverbs chapter 31, and here's what it says about her. She opens her mouth, and she's got wisdom. First of all, you need to understand that the logic of love will always be wise. And look at this. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. Not just kindness, but the law of kindness. It's not just speaking love to one person and non-love to another. It's a law. It's a rule of action. It always repeats no matter who she's talking to. Whether it would be the politicians at the city gates or whether it be somebody who worked in one of her factories, whatever who she talked to, when she opened her mouth, the logic of love was functional. She should have wisdom and kindness. Oh my goodness. Now look at this. A soft answer. Now that's what we'll learn eventually. The soft answer is the way love speaks. And look at what it does. A soft answer turns away wrath. It turns away reaction. But watch this now. But if there's no soft, loving, logical speaking, look at what happens. Grievous words stir up anger. And the other person. Yeah. Here we're beginning to see just a tidbit of what it means to have love logic affecting our speech. Look at the next verse. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness with the tongue, look at this, it's a breach in the spirit. It affects people. Way down in the heart of the matter. So, this is what we've learned so far. Now, today, we want to talk about the switch to love. So, how do you do that? How do you get the power to switch? If we're so used to speaking out of non-love, how do we switch? If we're so used to reacting to people out of non-love, how do we switch? So that's our subject. How to get the power to switch. Because you may be well-intended and say, I'd really like to be a nice person, but darn, every time I get involved with somebody, it goes south. So that's what we want to talk today about, how to get the power to switch. And I want to give you 4 steps today, and then we'll conclude the next time we're together with the last 2. So let's get started. The power to switch to the logic of love is our subject. So number 1, it is to experience being loved by God. Wow. And thus, look at the scripture. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We wouldn't even know what this was about. We didn't experience it ourselves. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Look at this. That we should be called the sons of God. Wow. It takes a lot of love. It took a lot of love. And he's got a lot of love to change us from sons of the devil, because we've been following his example, right? And he makes us into one of his own sons, the Son of God. Now, it's interesting that this verse ends with, this is the reason why people don't understand us. The world knows us not because they don't know what he's like. They don't understand this love thing. They don't get it. Because they've rejected the experience of being loved by God. See? So having the power to switch to the logic of love requires to enjoy the experience of being loved. Let's look at the same scripture in a different translation. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. Look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who he is or what he's really up to. Wow. So switching to the logic of love begins with having the experience of having been loved. Let me show you one more part of that same scripture. Friends, that's exactly who we are. Children of God. That's only the beginning. Who knows how we'll end up? It's magnificent. The power to switch to the logic of love begins with experiencing God's love. And you can do that. Don't push him away. Don't shove him out of your life. Open your heart up to him. Invite him. He will come right inside so intimately with you. Be the best friend you ever had. The power to switch begins with experiencing being loved. Now the second point about gathering the power to switch to the logic of love means that we learn to follow the model of God's love. See? So every man that has this hope does something about it. Want to be pure. So we see the model. Now we are able to follow the example. That's what Jesus said. In fact, didn't he say, he left us this example that we should follow in his steps. You get to follow the model. All of us who look forward to his coming, stay ready. Look at this. With the glistening purity of Jesus, life as a model for our own. That's what Jesus. It's one of the reasons why he came here. Yep, it's true. It's true, he came here to pay the price to die on the cross for our sins. But he also came here to show us how to live. So Jesus is the model. To switch to the logic of love, we experience it. And then secondly, we begin to follow the model of God's love. Look at the scripture. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, knows God. He that loveth not does not know God. We discover how to switch by following the example that he set before us. Again, I sometimes lean on translations just to help explain. So let's look at this. God knew what he was doing right from the very beginning. He decided from the outset, watch this now, to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. No, don't miss this. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. Oh, my, my, my. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. He's the model. He's the example. I know how to treat people because I see how he treated people. I know how to handle opposition because I've watched how he handled opposition. He decided right from the beginning that right from the outside, that for those who will follow the this wonderful being of God, he's going to shape our lives along the same lines as the life of his son. The King James says that we should be conformed to the image of his son. And so that's his intention and that's his purpose. Okay, so we got it so far, so straight, right? That the power to switch to the logic of love requires experience love ourselves and then to follow the example of God's love. Now the third step is to receive direction and power from God. You recall the words of Jesus when he said, abide in me and I abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, right? Except it abide in me, in the vine. You have to be connected, right? He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And he that abideth in me and I in him can bring forth fruit. There has to be this connection. So the power to switch is to experience love, is to follow the example of love. But this one is really important. We have to receive the direction and the power to love from God. Look at the scripture. It is God which worketh in you to do two things. To do his will and to do of his good pleasure. And what is that? Since God is love and he's working in us, he's working in us to empower us, as you'll see in a moment, to do the switch. To switch from the humanistic and sometimes even demonic and devilish manner of conducting love, life rather. To switch to the logic of love. It's God that worketh in you. Well, what's surprising is, okay, he wants to work in us, so this is what he says next. So I want you to do all these things without murmuring. Look at this now. God wants to work in us to will and to do his good pleasure, but make sure you let him do it without complaining. Don't come to God kicking and screaming and fighting him every inch of the way. Do all things without murmuring. Now this is what happens, the next verse tells us. That you may be blameless. Look at that. See, the logic of love, living by the logic of love, will make you blameless. Watch this. It will make you harmless. And you will be the sons of God. And watch this now. Nobody will be able to rebuke you because there's nothing but good flowing from you to them. Now watch more of the scripture because this happens. And look at this now. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. In other words, everybody else is narcissistic. Self-consumed. Egocentric. Playing God. And when you're in the midst of that, you're so different. But if you live this logic of love, watch this now, you will shine, you will shine as light in the world. Wow. You will be so different. How can you switch? Got to be a receiver of God's love. Got to follow the example of Jesus, the Master. And you, in order to switch to the logic of love, you have to get help from him. Back to this verse. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do his good pleasure. Now watch this. Because it comes from God. Watch this now. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So you may think you can't switch. You may think that's beyond you. I'm so ingrained in treating people the way I already do. Why would I start this loving thing? How can I even switch? Well, you'll get direction and power from God to switch. So how do you do that? So here we go. How can you receive the direction? Let me stop here for a moment. Getting vertical direction is so important to prevent horizontal pressure. Somebody else taking over, commanding you. So we get direction from heaven. And that's why Jesus taught us, the scripture taught us, to pray without ceasing. Stay vertically connected. Get directed from the vertical perspective so that the horizontal cannot control you. Gosh, you got to get this. Nobody horizontally can either push your buttons, pull you, or jerk your chain, or make you something else, provoke you. How does it happen? Because we get vertical direction that overcomes horizontal damage, pressure, control, manipulation. So we live vertical lives. And we live horizontally only within the parameters that we get empowerment and direction from above. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. We get direction and power. That's the power to switch. It's true. We've already mentioned it. You start with receiving the love so you know what it's like. It talks about following his example, the model, Jesus, right? But now you've, in order to switch, something needs to come into us that's not already there. And that's what gives the power to live love. So how does this happen? So here's what God says. Number one, make sure you give me your heart. I want access to your heart. You see, Satan speaks to your head to get to your heart. God speaks to your heart to get to your head. Give me your heart, my son. And look at this. And let thine eyes observe my ways. Make sure your heart belongs to God. And remember, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of your life. It's really important to have your heart. Have your heart open to God. Secondly, look at the same scripture again. My son, give me your heart. But let thine eyes observe my ways. Ooh. Here we get, this is the direction from above, right? Right? And now watch. And number third, now, since we get this direction and power from above, we're just channels, because it comes from God through us to somebody else. Because this love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's given to us. He wants to love through you more than you probably want to be, more than you probably want to love. He's ready, willing, and able to give you power from on high. So, let's look at a diagram. So here's God up here. And let's put us down here. And let's put somebody else over here. Let me show you how this works. Okay, watch this now. Because we're going to, the power to switch requires receiving direction and love power from God. So what happens is God puts inside of us His love. And now watch. Because we receive both the direction and the love power from God, now we've got it. Now we give it. So it comes, look at this now. It comes from God through us to somebody else. You receive the direction and the power of love from God. But I want to make it even more clear. Watch the diagram with me just a bit longer. Because this love flowing from God through us manifests itself in at least three ways. Number one, in the words we speak. So love comes from God into our hearts, and now we're going to deal with this person. And that love is going to show itself in what we say, how we say it, because it will be lovingly. But it isn't just our words, it's our attitude, lovingly. And it's not just that, but it's our actions. So this is the story, very simple. The power to switch to the logic of love depends on receiving the direction and power from God. For He says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So we get it to give it. Simple. You don't have to worry about do you have enough love or not, because God has lots to give you to give to somebody else. And so that's exactly what happens. So you give your heart to God. You see others the way He sees them. And then, like we just learned, we become the channels to other people of the love that we get from God for them. For this love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Oh my goodness, this is so delightful. Before we move on to our final point, let's talk a little bit more about this channel of God's love. Third point, remember? Remember? Give your heart to God. See others the way God sees them. Then become the channel from God through you to others. Let's just talk about that for one moment. Because here's what the scripture says. That He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Cool. That's what love is all about. Learning how to help people to get along with each other. That's what love does. And then it calls us, if you please. We are ambassadors. Whoa. For Christ. Don't worry about my typo here. We'll fix it. We're ambassadors for Christ. So God is beseeching other people through us. We are the channel of God. Let's do a quick review. We switch to the logic of love. We are empowered to do so because of the experience of being loved by God. By following the model of God's love, by receiving the direction and love power from God to do that. Now watch this now. And number four, we need to know who should be the object of our affection. And it begins with God Himself. So if you're going to pour out this love, the question is, who are you going to give it to? Who are I'm going to use the word victims, but it's not the right word. Whatever the opposite to victim, who are the beings, the people? Who's going to receive the benefit of this love from God through you to them? Who are they? And it begins with God himself. Look at the scripture again. We know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments don't irritate us. Ah. Let's stop and talk about that just for a moment. When God gives us instruction, if we really love, they're not grievous to us. You see, if we're still not in the love logic, he gives us an instruction and it will interfere with our selfish pursuit, and so we don't like the commandment. But once we have switched to the logic of love and he gives us an instruction, it's easy to follow. Look at the scripture. The proof that we love God comes when we keep his commandments, and they are not at all troublesome. They don't get in our way. They're not interfering with us anymore. In fact, they are now the happy guideline to do that on which the logic of love insists that we do, see? And so the Lord himself said, he that has my commandments and keeps them, that's the person who loves me. Who loves me. Well, after God, who then should be the object of our affection and our love? The answer is your spouse. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. So a husband is to love his wife. Because we're talking right now about who should be the recipients of our love. Number one, God himself. Number two, the spouse. It's not just the husband to the wife. In fact, the scripture teaches that the women should teach the young women to be sober and to love their husbands and to love their children. Isn't that interesting? Watch this now, because that's the next level. This love from God through us to back to him. It goes to our spouse, husband or wife. And it goes to our children. Teach the young women to be sober, love their husbands, and look at this, to love their children. It doesn't just apply to wives, though, and mothers. It applies to husbands. You fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but you fathers bring them up in the nurture. Oh, that's a loving thing, isn't it? And the admonition of the Lord. So you see, this love, we need to know where it's supposed to go to. To whom should it be spent? On whom? God himself, your spouse, your children. Before we leave the children, I want to see one more translation of this. For husbands and fathers, for fathers particularly, don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with the loving discipline the Lord himself would approve. Oh, watch that now. Bring them up with the loving discipline that the Lord himself approves, and with suggestions and godly advice. So, who should be the object of your love? God, your spouse, your children. Next one on the list, it's your friends. Not just your friends, but your father's friend. Thine own friend and thy father's friend. Forsake not. Oh, we haven't got time to go into the great principles of friendship, but look at this. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Oh, and I like this. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So friends, a friend loveth at all times. Now watch this, because this one
introduces the next level. God, your spouse, your children, your friends, and now your siblings, your brothers and sisters. A brother is born to help you in adversity. And so families stick together, brothers and sisters stick together. And then the third one, another, I don't know what letter it was, I guess number six. I think I had a letterdom F. The next one is your fellow followers. I'm talking about other Christians now. Look at the scripture. You purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto, look at this, unfeigned, that's authentic love of the brethren. The brothers and the sisters, the Christian brothers and sisters. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So we make the object of our love God, our spouse, our children, our siblings, brothers or sisters, if you have them, your friends, and fellow followers of the Lord. And that's why Peter, make sure you love the brotherhood. Make sure, okay? So, where does it go from there? We're almost at the end of the list, but we must not forget this one. This is a big one. Love your neighbor as yourself. The whole, all the rules summed up in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, you probably guessed it, who's my neighbor? And that's why Jesus gave the story of the certain Samaritan, remember? He was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho. I've tread that road myself, about 17 miles. And he fell among thieves. He was left for dead. They took everything and left him in the ditch, wounded. Several people came by, ministers, can you imagine, and they just walked by on the other side of the road and ignored him. And then a Samaritan who had no dealings with the Jewish people came by. Yeah, he's the one found somebody in need and he patched him up, put him on his donkey, took him to the inn, paid the bill. And Jesus said, and telling the story, so who is the neighbor? It's the person that's definitely in need. After your neighbor, this may shock you, comes sinners. Just like God loves sinners. When you switch to the logic of love, bad people, sinners, become the object of your affection. You don't mock them, despise them, point your finger at them, fight with them. You treat them with love. That's exactly, because remember we follow the model. And this, in due time, Christ died. Who did he die for? He died for the ungodly. Look at the scripture. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man would a person die, but some might die for a good man. But God commendeth his love toward us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. This is part of the logic of love, knowing those to whom you should extend, those that you should love, your neighbors, sinners. Now look at this one. The not nice people. Got any of those in your life? See, when you switch to the logic of love, it includes even the not nice people. Here's how Jesus put it. If you love those who love you back, big deal. What reward should you get for that? Because publicans do the same. Rotten people do the same thing. If you only love those who love you back, we've missed it. We're called to love the not nice people.
If you salute your brothers only, what more do you, what, you know, if you say hello to just people who say hello to you, everybody does that. So we're called not just to love God, our spouse, our children, our friends, our fellow travelers on the road to eternal life, and our neighbors and sinners, but the people that are not nice. Look at this text. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. See, that's what makes us different. When you switch to the logic of love, it includes not nice people. In fact, the last one on our list is probably worse than not nice people. In one sense, they're called your enemies. Look at the scripture. Jesus said, you have heard it's been said that you should love your neighbor and you should hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. They're on your list if you live by the logic of love. To love your enemies. Look at this. Bless them that curse you. Look at now. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you, and they persecute you. Oh my goodness. The power to switch to the logic of love. Remember, it begins with the experience of being loved by God. It has to do with following the model, so we know how to do this, of God's love. To receive direction and the power to love others from God through us to them. To know those who should be the object of your love. There's a whole list, 10 of them, that we've listed. Now, there are two more steps to help you switch to the power, to have the power to switch, rather, to the logic of love. You need to know the elements of love, and you need to understand the logic of love. And these last two points are what we will deal with next. Today, we got started really good on how to have the power to switch to the logic of love. It will be life-changing for you. It will be life-changing for everybody whose life you touch by word, by attitude, or by action. Don't miss the conclusion of this, because learning the logic of love is what being a Christian is really all about.
Do you ever wonder how to handle that difficult person in your life? David L. Johnston has a free ebook just for you, How to Handle Difficult People. Get the free ebook today by going to nothingbutthetruth.org/difficult.